Good morning. This Memorial Day morning, my name is Tom Lyons. I'm host of Minnesota Military Radio, and for the 13th year in a row, we're going to present a three-hour special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. In the first hour, we're going to be joined by Chaplain Nguyen, from the Minnesota National Guard, and we're going to talk to people like the Patriot Guard and check in with the Fort Snelling to see what's going on out there today. Second hour, we have a special guest host, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA, and we're going to talk to several special guests there. In the third hour, our Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, will be here, and we're going to check in with Lieutenant General Jensen from the Pentagon, Senator Klobuchar, and Governor Tim Walz. My partner in the studio today from Minnesota Military Radio is retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. He's going to be here all 3 hours. And, Doug, good morning. And here we are, Zero Dark 30, several veterans in the studio.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Tom, and good morning to our listening audience. It's great to be here and get to experience this live broadcast and, this great show and honor those who have served our country and, paid that ultimate sacrifice.
Would you like to introduce our special guest for the hour?
Well, I would love to, because he's just a dear friend of mine. I've known him for many, many years, been my battle buddy throughout many of those years, spent a lot of great quality time together. And Chaplain Buddy Nguyen from the Minnesota National Guard, it's so great to see you this morning. Welcome.
Good morning. You guys, too. We go too far and too long without talking to one another. So to reconnect on a day like this, it's important, but it's also very special.
Chaplain, you're right. We all stay too busy, but I don't know how many years in a row you get up real early and join us for this special day. Memorial Day is a special day, and for me, it's an opportunity to think back 50 years ago to my service in Vietnam and some of my buddies that didn't come home, and a lot of them that have died since because of the exposure to Agent Orange, and hundreds of thousands that are still ill with those things. And Doug, you served in the military for many, many years. I'm sure there's some friends of yours that didn't make it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's always three that come to mind that we lost during our deployment to Iraq in 2009, 2010. And then a special person in my life as well that I always think of, although did not die in time of service, was a World War II veteran. That's my grandfather. Mm.
Good day to think about that. And Chaplain, this is one of those weekends where families get together and they've got an extra day off, and it's great for them to get together and gather. We hope that at 3 o'clock today they'll take a moment of silence and recognize. But seems to me that it's a good opportunity when those families are together for the grandkids to say, "Hey, Grandpa, you were in the military. Where did you serve? What do you think about on Memorial Day?"
We talk to many World War II veterans. My home faith community is Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel. And so we've got a platoon of, senior Vietnam and still some World War II veterans, and their families so often say that they wish that their veteran would talk about their service. It can be hard to do. It can be painful. That's why this reflection and this time together is so important.
Chaplain, there's a difference here to those people that perhaps didn't serve. There's Flag Day, there's Veterans Day, and there's Memorial Day, and some people confuse Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Could you help with that?
Absolutely, and that's really an honor for the chaplaincy. Our threefold mission is to nurture the living, care for the wounded, and then finally to honor the fallen. And so Memorial Day is to recognize and honor and pay respect to the fallen, those that have died while in service of their country. Veterans Day, of course, is for the living. We honor those who have served or continue to serve in uniform. And so it's important to understand the meaning of both and then to act accordingly based on the purpose of those special days.
So Memorial Day is a day to remember. And Doug, there's kind of a fun little story. At one of our golf tournaments, we had not only had one chaplain win there, we had two chaplain wins, and we had a double. His father was a chaplain before him. What a tradition.
Yeah, that is, it's awesome. And to have that, a history of service together, something I didn't have with my father, but a great, in my personal life, family of service, my brother, uncles, and my son right now, who's actually deployed. So something that, I'm looking forward to his return. And, that homecoming.
You're on the other side of that now, Sergeant Major.
It's interesting. Yeah, it sure is. It's interesting to be on the other side of it. And the whole range of emotions that you go through as a service member leaving, but then as a parent to see your child leave to go serve their country, and just a huge moment of pride for me.
And my son served in the Navy, and now my grandkids are going to college. So I'm way on the other side of it. What does Memorial Day mean for you, and what do you think about, Chaplain?
Well, we talked about family. My grandfather was a Korean War vet. He was a platoon leader with Love Company, 3rd to the 8th Cav. And they landed in Pusan and broke out, headed north, met up with the 7th Infantry just south of Seoul, and did a thunder run north to Pyongyang. And that's where they were met by a massive invasion of enemy. Hundreds of thousands, in fact, and they lost 44 out of 46 men in his platoon, killed, wounded, or captured. So as we talked about earlier, you know, those names are etched in stone, but because Grandpa made it home and of course dealt with all of the trappings of survivor's guilt, you know, as I learned about his service, those names are now, you know, and their families etched in my heart really forever. So we'll never forget. I think about the two Marines that died in Iraq while I was there, September 10th, 2007, Carlos and John. They were young men, 20 and 24, killed in an IED accident. And my chaplain assistant at the time and I took those Marines from their battle buddies. That was one of the hardest things we've ever had to do, and put them on an aircraft and then transported them on the first leg of their sacred journey home. So for Carlos and for John, we never forget them or their families.
And Chaplain, you and I have talked about this, but when you're over supporting a unit of the Minnesota National Guard on deployment in that area, like Kuwait or wherever you are, you're ministering to everybody in the neighborhood.
That's right. Our soldier or any soldier, regardless of their faith, tradition, or belief, and that's the good news about the chaplaincy is it doesn't matter what your thing is, you can come to chaplains in confidence. And, you know, we're here to listen and to provide resources and support. And any kind of spiritual religious input that they desire. And then, of course, the big part of that is follow-up as well, to check on how they've come out of whatever situation brought them to us.
And Chaplain, we forget, those that didn't serve sometimes forget more than we do, because I remember. But in Vietnam, POWs, MIAs, we had so many of them you couldn't count them. And in every theater of war, it seems like there are some of those, and I know that's something that you think about, because it's not, okay, this person died, we know where they are, we know what happened, but what about those that are missing? What about those that we can't account for?
Because we can't account for them, or we can account for most of them, you know, certainly there is funding that goes forward to recover the remains of service members who have fallen or been captured or missing, but there are thousands whose families have no closure as to what happened to their loved one while they served in uniform overseas. But the other thing we can do is what we're doing today, stop and remember and remain committed. You know, I fly a POWMIA flag at my house. So these visual reminders are important so that we can show what we value in our country, the freedoms that were provided for. They were obtained, now secured by those who wear the uniform.
You know, and I think that's the thing, right? It's this constant reminder of the sacrifice that, you know, there is a cost to war. There is a cost for freedom. And things like flying that POW MIA flag on a constant basis is another reminder that, hey, this isn't free, man. To have that flag that's above it, that's something to fight for.
Yeah, today's a day of education about, to the grandkids, to your point, Tom, Grandpa, what does that black flag mean? You know, so with kids, you know, you gotta pick your spots, right? And right. The wife would tell me, use half as many words as you think you need to.
But when it comes up, tell them something.
That's right.
And my son and I went to the three cemeteries where my family's buried yesterday. And one of the things we were talking about was, you know, so long as somebody remembers, so long as they're not forgotten, they're not really gone.
Never forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to talk about that all day today. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we've got another guest calling in, Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Be fun to talk to him. This is our Memorial Day special broadcast, which is brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Ammunition. Find more information online at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio. My partner in the studio is Doug Wortham, and our special guest is Chaplain Colonel Buddy Wynn. And Chaplain, we've got a call in for an old buddy of all of ours from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Doug Bly is joining us. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for getting up early to visit us again. I know you're not used to zero dark 30, and I appreciate your calling in.
This is kind of a normal time, Tom, and when the morning's so pretty, how did you not get up?
All right. Well, I hope you've had your coffee, and as we get started here, I know that, how long have you been a member of the Patriot Guard, by the way?
It's funny you say that. I was just thinking about that a few minutes ago. 2006 is when I started.
So a lot of years and a lot of missions. Can you share with our listeners what does the Patriot Guard do and what kind of missions you go on?
The primary and core mission where we all got started was supporting the families of the fallen, you know, on their worst day. So at the invitation of the families and the military, we attend the returns, we attend the wakes, and we attend the funerals and interment if requested. And standing a flag line, silent honor. And main goal is to add a shield between the family and any potential protesters was the core mission where we started.
And it's hundreds of missions every year, times ever since 2006. You've done quite a job, Doug.
It's too many to count, and sadly we have to count them because they all matter. Each and every mission matters, Tom. We always say, what was your most impactful, what was your most important mission? I always go the one I'm on today.
Mm. Hey, Doug, this is Doug, and I just, this is obviously the day to remember those that have paid that ultimate sacrifice, and I know that, you and the Patriot Riders, that's part of the mission, and you've been out and about, you've done some ceremonies at different cemeteries. I know you're busy yesterday at a three-state cemeteries. Tell us a little bit about what that really means to you and what other events you might be supporting as the team today.
Doug, is that I'm a civilian. I never served in the military, and I don't regret not doing that, but this is my opportunity to give back to those who did sign up on the dotted line, who put themselves in harm's way. And today is certainly about remembering the fallen, but 365 days a year, we're about the veterans, we're about the fallen, we're about the families. And it's those three things we always try and keep in mind. Yesterday, we're at the state cemeteries, you're correct, all three of them. And then today, we're at Fort Snelling National Cemetery at 9 o'clock this morning. And then we're also at the Minneapolis Veterans Home as well for a brief ceremony.
And what a great sight that's got to be. The weather's beautiful out there. I'm sure that most of your team will be on their bikes now. And what a great sound to hear that. The sound of freedom, some of us like to say.
Doug, I was out to Fort Snelling yesterday to visit my family, and they were just finishing putting up the flags. And I saw a lot of Patriot Guard vests out there. A lot of your folks were out there just finishing the job.
We have a team of people on there, Tom, that are fabulous. It's the same group of guys, core group of guys. They're there. I shouldn't say guys, the core group of people, because it's both men and women. Every day of the week that there's a ceremony that we're invited to, we're down there, sometimes two, three, and four a day. They never leave. They have breakfast together. They stand their flag line, and then they go have lunch together and then come back if requested.
Doug, this is Chaplain Wynn. Thank you. I was out at Fort Snelling for a graveside committal for a family member last week, and, you know, I think of the faithfulness of these men and women. They're always there. They're there standing at attention or parade rest, the greatest level of respect and somber and solemn posture, and it's a huge blessing. What does it mean for a member of the Patriot Guard as they stand there in silence, often not even acknowledged or maybe even noticed by families that are grieving? What goes through the mind of a member of the Patriot Guard when they're standing a watch there at the cemetery?
You know, Chaplain, as you just said, you were there for a family committal. I was at a mission for the grandfather of one of the KAs for the Minnesota National Guard, and he passed away, and so I'm part of the family, but I'm not. And as I'm standing there and I'm looking around and seeing familiar faces going through that same cycle of grief again, different certainly, but a cycle of grief, and I'm just grateful I have the opportunity to do that. I'm grateful that we've been invited. I'm grateful that I live in freedom. I'm grateful that we can be there to say and live up to the promises the government made to all of you who have enlisted, that we will be there on your last day. And I'm just grateful for that opportunity to be of service to them.
That's really well said. And I want you to know, you know, two things go through my mind when I see the Patriot Guard. Number one is that someone will be there for me and for my family when that day comes, and I'm grateful for that. The other thing I try to do is to just shake as many hands as possible. I'm on duty, I'm working, but I see them there. They're not missed or forgotten either.
We had a mission earlier this year for one of our members who passed away. He was a Vietnam veteran, and, you know, so it's, again, it's kind of that middle ground. You know, you're part of the family, you're part of the friends, but you're also standing that flag line for him, and it is it's meaningful and powerful for us when the family comes around and acknowledges us and shakes our hand or says thank you. And I remember a few years ago, I had a brother visiting, and I took him to a Saturday mission to a small church on the North Metro, and he was looking at me like, what did you do to me? I'm kind of bored, hot, I'm standing here. And then the granddaughter came out with tears in her eyes, thanking all of us one by one for being there for her grandpa. And he looked at me and he nodded. He got it. He knew I did this.
Yeah.
Doug, we were talking in the first segment about one of the things that some people don't think about as much as those who have served as POW MIAs. Occasionally, you get the chance for a mission to repatriate one of those old POW MIAs. And from what I hear from Tim, very powerful mission.
They are, you know, and they're doing such a great job now identifying the remains, particularly from Pearl Harbor. And Korea as well, when they were recovering some of the remains from there. And, you know, they come in on a commercial flight. It's not a military flight. They come in a commercial flight to the airport, and they bring the hearse over to the firehouse down at the airport, and it's just the family's there, and it's been 50 years, maybe 60 years, since they've been in close contact with that fallen service member. And closure and relief, but, you know, we take these, because we service the whole Midwest through those. We've got people riding all the way to Ashland, Wisconsin, straight through, down into Iowa, that when they bring these remains in, and you go through these small towns, and town after town, the streets are lined up with law enforcement, with firefighters, with citizens, with flags, and everyone just, and this is 60 years ago, and these small towns turn out like you can't believe.
Doug, we just got about a minute left. With all your years of experience with the Patriot Guard and as a writer, what do you think about on Memorial Day? Is there anything special that hits you?
Small towns. I live up in Rogers, and we don't have an official Memorial Day program, but there's a number of people get together every year at the Veterans Memorial, and someone brings some flowers. We'll probably play taps on a phone, but it's a small town feeling for me. The small town I grew up in, they have the Memorial Day services. And my dad's 92 and served in Korea, and he'll be there, you know, in his Legion uniform. And it's just that small town feeling that comes. It really brings it back. And again, it's this feeling of being grateful, feeling of somber sadness, you know, for those we've lost. But it's just, you know, the ability to say thank you. And most importantly, to these Gold Star families, we remember. And as we like to say their name. You know, when you think about someone who's been lost at war, say their name, because the family, all they care about is that we remember them.
Doug, that fits. Your dad's a retired firefighter and knows everybody in town, and so small towns makes a lot of sense.
Well, look, that's just where I came from.
For all our listeners, if anyone's going out to Fort Snelling today for that ceremony, look for the Patriot Guard riders. They'll be all over the place and easy to find, right, Doug?
They are. If you go to our mission calendar at patriotguard.org and click on the mission calendar, all the information you would want to get for today's mission. There's still time to make it to Fort Snelling at 9 o'clock. You can get all the information, where to park, what to bring, and who to talk to.
Doug, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, gentlemen, and I remember.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Take care.
It was Doug Bly from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. This Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you by Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Ammunition. Find more information online at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. We'll be back in a moment with the representative from Fort Snelling National Cemetery.
Finn.
Welcome back to our special edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day. My partner in the studio is Doug Wortham, and our special guest host this hour is Chaplain Colonel Buddy Wynn. And Zach, do we have another guest coming on? Do we have a little welcome music for him?
From the halls of bondage,
Semper Fi.
Joining us now from the Fort Snelling National Cemetery is Deputy Director Marshall Murphy. And, sir, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. We had to dial up some special music for you to get you awake this morning.
Great music. Good choice. Thank you for having me.
I understand you served in the United States Marine Corps as a combat engineer.
Yes, I did, from 1995 to 1999.
Well, I'd like to, this is Doug over here, and first I'll say thank you for your service. We appreciate that. You spent a little bit of time with the Marine Corps, and it's great to have that military service, that background. What is it that brought you to your assignment over at the National Cemetery in Arkansas, which is where you came from?
Okay, well, I started off where I'm from at South Florida National Cemetery, and I just wanted to work for the VA. I thought that it was a good cause. I love the mission, and I hadn't really thought of the cemeteries per se, and then realized what, you know, how much of an important aspect that is to, you know, people's lives and to serving veterans. And then from there, to progress and advance, I ended up going on to ending up in Arkansas, and loved it there, served as the director of Fort Smith and Little Rock National Cemeteries, and then was able to receive a promotion, which is what brought me to Minnesota, to Fort Snelling National Cemetery.
Marshall, this is Chaplain Wynn. Thanks again for your role out there at the cemetery. And, you know, I think of looking out at rows and rows of headstones. Each one of those is a brick in the foundation of freedom that we stand on. Every one of those has a very, very special story. And so it's not lost on me the significance of the role that your entire team plays out there. I'll be heading out to the cemetery this morning. Can you tell our listeners about the events that will be taking place at Fort Snelling Cemetery today?
Sure. Fort Snelling National Cemetery's Memorial Day program is going to be at 9:45 a.m. It's going to be fantastic service. We have several guests that are coming, Senator Klobuchar, Senator Smith, the governor, Tim Walz is going to be there. And just in general, just thousands of people are going to show up to pay respects to veterans and to remember those that have given us the freedoms that we enjoy today.
And the chaplain dialed up some good weather for you as well.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you very much. We needed that.
So one of the things that I think about when I go out to any of our cemeteries, the national or even our state cemeteries, is I just look at how pristine it is. And I'm just wondering how or what does it take to make that cemetery look as beautiful as it is, the headstones in line. I mean, you must have just a fantastic team out there, put a lot of time and effort into making that that final resting place for those who served our country a comfortable place.
Absolutely. It's a tremendous amount of work. One thing that I think a lot of people think of is the initial application, is getting those headstones aligned, getting the interments taking place and stuff. What they don't often think of is the amount of work that goes into keeping it that way as those 240-pound headstones start to sink, and we have to start, you know, bumping them back up and picking them back up and doing testing different systems and things to try to keep them as aligned and uniform as possible. It really is a tremendous amount of work. And then just the oversight that goes into making that happen and making sure that we're staying up with all of that is really is a tremendous amount of work.
Sir, this is Tom Lyons again. Your predecessor told us some stories over the years where if we had a homeless veteran that was being interred, or you sometimes get some cremains shipped in, and then you have a ceremony and you bury those cremains. And he said that the word goes out to your crew, and a lot of them show up, and nobody's really buried alone. There are other veterans there. There are other members of the Fort Snelling staff that witness that and are with them when you put them in their final resting place.
Absolutely. That's the point of the NCA, is to ensure that no veteran ever dies and that we tell their story as we keep going on. And those veterans that might not have family that can attend, or they might be in a bad place in their life to where they don't necessarily have friends, family, anybody that can come along, we make sure that we do that. And so once per month, we go out there and we read those names and we honor those people. We do military honors just like we would for anybody else if their family was right there. And we ensure that every person has the dignified sort of retirement. It's just that one, I get emotional about it, but it's that dignified final service for them, to honor their service and what they've done for our country, regardless of, you know, what their life entailed.
Marshall, this is Chaplain Wynn. Thank you for that. With the minute that we've got before we've got to take a break, is there any particular service that you've attended that has stood out to you and been memorable?
Yes. You know, one thing that since in my short time that I've been here at in Minnesota is, you know, we had a veteran that unfortunately many veterans are finding that, you know, they will end their life prematurely. They will take their own life. And I just want to reach out to those veterans that are out there as we see those people that do this, is that, you know, there is hope. There is resources. There are resources where people can help you. And we need to reach these people and make sure they know that they're not alone.
Well said.
Deputy Director, I was out there yesterday and was very, very busy. I imagine it's going to be quite just as busy today with the good weather the chaplains delivered. What time again is the ceremony? And I'm thinking you're going to invite anybody who wants to watch to come out early.
Absolutely. At 9:45, come out and then everything will get going. Should be on time. I can't think of anything that would cause any delays. So again, 9:45 is the time that we're telling everybody to be out there.
Sir, thanks for calling us today, and welcome to Minnesota, and I'm sure you're going to find a lot of great people around here, and thank you for taking good care of our veterans as they move into Fort Snelling.
No problem. Thank you very much, sir.
That was Deputy Director Marshall Murphy from the Fort Snelling National Cemetery. This Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Ammunition. Please find more information online at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. We'll be back in a moment. Okay. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. This is our special Memorial Day broadcast, which is brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Ammunition. I'm in the studio with Doug Wortham, and our special co-host for the hour is Chaplain Colonel Buddy Wynn. And Colonel, we've had a pretty good hour going so far. Fun to talk to Doug Bly and the new guy out at the Fort Snelling National Cemetery. And it's always great to have you in the studio. What do we do in this segment, Chaplain?
Time goes by quickly, and you know, we've got this hundreds of years of service between the three of us. You know, we're kind of the dinosaurs.
Hundreds of years. What kind of math are you doing over there?
Well, Sergeant Major, he's got 100.
That's right. So, what we want to do today is take an opportunity to hear from the Minnesota National Guard's newest chaplain. This is Chaplain Isaiah Bai. Chaplain Bai, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good to have you with us. We stood on the steps of the state capitol, Minnesota State Capitol, just a couple weeks ago, and you raised your right hand with your family present and took the oath of a commissioned officer. And what was that day like for you?
It was very exciting. I love that place, St. Paul. I remember that. It's about 3 years ago, I became a citizen in the same place, St. Paul. I was also taking a similar oath by a federal judge and become a citizen. And who knows, you know, 2-3 years later, God led me to be a sworn chaplain in a U.S. Army. A just very glorious day. I was so excited. I keep looking at the pictures that we have taken and just exciting and very honored and pleased to be and to serve my country in the capacity that I have.
And we're honored to have you. And, you know, we talk about how, as soldiers, we enlist, but our families get drafted. You've got a wife and small children, and that takes a lot of contemplation, conversations with your family about what you're about to do to serve your country. How did you become interested in the military chaplaincy?
Yeah, because I feel called to be a pastor. I was never thinking about, like, to be a military chaplain, but you know, I'm a pastor on the civilian side, and then I keep thinking, you know, how cool it is to serve a country in the military, you know, in that way. And then maybe you can bring those two together, you know, serve God and serve country. Well, there is a way to do that, is to be a military chaplain. And I was having conversation with the friends I know in the church side, and I get to know Chaplain Jeremy Peterson. It's also to be a chaplain in the Minnesota Guard. He told me, you know, the benefits, the channels, and he can serve soldiers here. And they said, oh, why not? Let's try it out. Huh. And then he gave me your contact, and then we were able to have a conversation. So that's how I get to know.
And here we are today, Chaplain Bijah. I just got one more question for you. You're a new chaplain, but of course you've got a lot of ministry experience. Tell us what Memorial Day means to you.
You know, it's a special day. I preached at church yesterday, and I bring up Memorial Day. You know, I cannot ignore it. It's such a big holiday. It is a day that somehow got hijacked by the commercial world. You know, when you talk about Memorial Day, it's always about sales. It's about, hey, get 20% off, about doing this, doing barbecue. But we forgot the true meaning of that is to remember those who have died for the cause of other people's freedom. That they died, the soldiers died for the people they have never met.
Hey, Chaplain, Chaplain, this is Doug Wortham here, and you know, you're absolutely right. You know, we shouldn't forget the meaning of Memorial Day. I do want to go back to your service, though, coming in as a chaplain in the Minnesota National Guard. I'm just wondering, you know, how has that difference been where you have in your, where you're a pastor, you have a flock, so to speak, that, you know, they come to your location where you serve them, you lead them, you minister to them. But then coming into the military, what's it like where you have a flock that's spread across multiple denominations and you have to care for them? How has that transition been for you?
I think that's just awesome. I was so excited. I got the same question I got asked by Chaplain Wynn. You know, how do you care for the soldiers who are scattered out, different fields, they don't come to you, and they have different faith traditions? I think that's doing what Jesus did. You know, I read through the Gospels over and over again. It's very seldom that he has a church service in the chapel or in the synagogue, in the temple. He goes out to find them. He encounters believers. He encounters unbelievers. He talks to everybody. He meets the people by the well. He meets people by the tax booth. I think that's how I do ministry in the military, in the army, is I go find them. If they are fixing their tanks, I go there and talk to them. How is your day? How can I serve you today at my capacity? I'm not there to lecture you, because in church, the parish ministry is, to me, it's like, oh, you do a religious worship service. And then you give them a lecture, per se. You educate them, you know, confirmation class, the Bible study, lectures. But in army, I go there, I get to know them. I hear their story. Tell me about yourself. Not there to make you a Christian, if you don't believe that. I'm there to listen to you, to hear your ranting. I believe soldiers are told the law. You know, they are given orders. You got to do this, do that, do that, do that, do that. But I guess they're not heard enough.
Yeah, Chaplain.
Nobody,
so
the
one thing I would like to say, just offer this advice, is you get out and you're doing all the things you're doing. Just remember, you need to have a battle buddy and somebody that will help to take care of you, because your health and well-being is important, just as important as you being able to take care of our soldiers, our airmen out there in the field.
Thank you, sir.
Chaplain Bai, welcome to Minnesota National Guard Chaplain Corps. You're going to do fine. This is Tom Lyons. Thanks for calling in today, and I hope you enjoy some of the Memorial Day events today.
I will. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chaplain Wynn, I think he's going to be a good preacher. Probably not going to have a hard time getting him to slow down.
Yeah, you know, I remember those days filled with energy and excitement, and that's still there. But, you know, over time, you slow down a little bit. I love being around Chaplain Bai because he's got just a passion.
Well, it's
got
to be kind of a, you know, a little bit of rejuvenation for you, right? I mean, you see that energy, and just it kind of helps you to keep on going. And sure. I know how busy you are and how you keep on going.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what Chaplain Bai had to say about the care that he brings as a chaplain, I think is important as we close our segment here. You know, we think about how a spiritually fit person, and that's of any faith tradition, this can be people who don't have any faith tradition or religion, that might sound like it doesn't fit, but we know that those who have a strong spiritual foundation in their lives, they can develop the qualities to sustain them in times of stress and hardship and tragedy. When we put this uniform on, stress and hardship, it goes along with it every day. And the reality that we have to remember as we think about today is that tragedy is soon to follow. And so with that, it's a chance for us, again, to slow down, to quiet our minds, and to think about those that have gone before us. And with that, gentlemen, if I might, could I ask you to join me in a word of prayer? We raise our prayer of thanks, loving God, today for these United States of America. We're grateful for our heritage, for the fruitfulness of our farmlands and the abundance of our natural resources. We give thanks for the freedom to vote and to express our opinions, to worship and to gather. And we thank you especially this day for the sacrifices that have been made on our behalf, for the men and women in uniform who have risked and given their very lives so that we might remain comfortable and secure. We raise a prayer of thanks for this nation, and we ask that those who give their honorable and dedicated service continue to be blessed. We're grateful for those who are constantly striving to preserve those freedoms and principles which must never be lost. We take now just a few moments to silence and quiet our hearts in honor of the fallen. Amen. Thanks, Tom.
Chaplain Wynn, I want to thank you for getting up early and joining us again today. I hope you have a great event out at Fort Snelling, and look forward to next year. It might just be you and Doug in here, but I think you guys are going to do just fine.
Could be, but Tom, you're always here. You're always here. 700 shows, I mean, you're amazing.
Thank you, Doug. We've got two more hours coming up. Next hour, we're going to have Director Pat Kelly from the VA healthcare system joining us. And in the third hour, Major General Sean Mankey. A lot of guests coming up, a lot of things to talk about on this Memorial Day 2023. And once again, Chaplain Wynn, thanks for joining us today. And I want to remind everybody that the event is out at Fort Snelling at 9:45 this morning, and there'll be more events around the state. We'll try to get to those. This Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Ammunition. This is a special broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio for Memorial Day 2023. And online, you'll be able to find podcasts of this broadcast. Please stay with us. We'll be back shortly.